You will almost certainly never see me visibly, physically, by definition, angry. Things do tick me off from time to time, especially things political, but I tend to internalize these disappointments and work through them personally, making my own bargains and accommodations. I don't even argue very much anymore. This goes so far back that by the time I was 20, I'd come to think of myself as a pacifist for reasons religious and political, and the Selective Service System agreed that I would never be a soldier. I had no doubt that, confronted with physical violence, I would take my cues from Gandhi and just sit down and resist peacefully, come what may. I was living in Kansas City at the time, 1971, working at a place called Hoyt House, a halfway house for young juvenile delinquent boys transitioning from reform school back to home, or as most of them thought of it, back to the streets, where they really belonged. I might have talked about this before in a different context. Loads of anger there among those kids, involving race and upbringing, and their fluid hierarchies of advantage, threat, honor. There were fights, which I broke up quietly. Loss of privileges and other consequences gave me leverage, and hurt feelings were the worst outcomes. For those kids, day-to-day life was so volatile and quirky. Somebody you were trying to brain with a crescent wrench last night might be covering your back tomorrow in a completely unrelated conflict. Anyway, most nights after the house was settled, I'd go for a walk by myself around the neighborhood. One night, two guys jumped me. In the dark, they mistook me for someone else, and in a half second, I became someone else. Instinct, or whatever, took over. We were all surprised, and in that sudden mysteriousness, I got in a totally lucky, knee-jerk response roundhouse to the first guy's face, and he had to leave. I'm sure his nose was broken. The other guy was all over me then. He had some sort of weapon. My impression was that it was a screwdriver. He made a mess of my jacket and cut my forehead. We rolled up under a streetlight where his mistake was confirmed, and he took off in one direction, I in the other. But here's the thing. I wanted to kill him. I was trying to kill him. I was so angry and so frightened, I stepped completely outside the person I was, the person I thought I was, to do something I believed was inherently and in all circumstances wrong. And I'd done it without hesitation, without a single what you'd call thought process. That is, without choosing to, I tried to kill someone. This was a turnaround event for me. Those 5 minutes in my life changed everything, impacting both how I understood my past and how I approached the future. I've wondered over the years, especially when I was working as a mediator in the field of conflict resolution, wondered about the anger that drives, for example, domestic abuse. We saw people who did awful things to their loved ones. Sometimes it seemed to me in an anger so deep and constant and intractable, it defined personality. And other times in flash-bang, anomalous, other-person behavior, over, finished, in seconds. We're trained to discern modes of anger, cognitive, somatic, affective, behavioral, and to make distinctions between anger and rage. Psychologists and health professionals argue about how natural, unnatural anger is, whether or not it has survival value, should you express it or suppress it. I am not in that argument. I do know that being angry makes me angry in that circular way. It never leads to good choices. Bad things get worse. Dumb things get dumber. Maybe that's at the heart of my lifelong distaste for it. Looking dumb makes me really, really angry at me.